Hello everybody, you are listening to Ask Pastor Alfred, and the question for today is it my duty to expose preachers who are deceiving people? Now this is actually quite touchy, sensitive and kind of tricky, but let's go into it. I would like us to look at the book of Galatians chapter 2 verse 11, and it says, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed." Now, this is Apostle Paul talking. He's talking about Peter. He confronted Peter and rebuked Peter and told him to his face. And he actually said, because he was to be blamed. You know, so he puts so much of a necessity on it. Like, this is what I had to do. He was to be blamed, you know. Peter did something he should not have done, and Paul confronted him about it in that book of Galatians chapter 2 verse 11. So that says a lot. But let's also look at the book of Romans chapter 12 verse 18. And it says, "If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men." This creates a balance now. This actually tells you that as much as possible, you should try to live at peace with all men. Now, confronting people and telling them what they did wrong. Number one, you have to understand that this was not like he confronted somebody who is not of the faith, as in somebody who is not even a Christian, who did something wrong. This is a leader in the church that he confronted. So we should keep that in mind, the person that he confronted. And again, let's understand that he understood that this was not going to lead to a major conflict, I believe so. This was just something that he knew that obviously Peter would take correction, and Peter did take correction. Let us look at the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 23 to 26, and it says, "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes," take note of that, "and the servants of the Lord must not strife." That's very important. "But be gentle with all men, apt to teach, patience, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves." That's talking about those who sin or do things that are wrong against the body of Christ and against themselves. So he's saying, "In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Now that's very, very interesting. Now we understand from this portion of the scripture, and when you look at the earlier scripture that I read, that you should live peacefully with all men as much as it is possible. We see that it puts parameters to guide how reproving or rebuking should be done. Number one, it should be done in love. It should be done peacefully. We should seek peace with all men. We should make sure that we should stay away from it if it is going to lead to strife, because that's what it's saying here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 23. "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid." It's telling you to avoid it, knowing that they do gender strifes. So, arguing about certain scriptures or doctrines or certain questions that are asked for purposes of debating scriptures or doctrines, it says here that you should avoid it because they do gender strife. And it's saying that the servant of God must not strive. So that parameter is there. Based on what we have learned so far on the scripture, we are meant to reprove or rebuke. Like you can see Apostle Paul made that clear. But it must be done in love, and it must be done peacefully. And it has made it clear that if you see that it is going to not move on to something peaceful, or if it's not going to maintain peace, then you should avoid it. You see, that is what he's saying there. Now, let us look at the book of Proverbs chapter 27 verse 5. And it says, open rebuke is better than secret love. This is very important. Jesus actually says that publicly telling somebody they did something wrong is better than secretly loving them and allowing them continue doing what is wrong. Because you see, just like the previous scripture said and ended with, it says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. So you see, those people are ensnared by the devil. Those people are heading towards trouble. When you see somebody doing something wrong, you can't just, you have to understand that if you keep quiet, they will get themselves burnt. It's just like if you see a baby trying to put his or her hand into an open fire, that baby is going to get burned, you know. Are you going to keep quiet and watch it happen? Are you going to move in and stop it? Now, the thing is that in this case, we are dealing with adults and preachers. It now looks like it becomes tricky and but easily cleared up when we follow the parameters. We know that we must do something, but it has to be by the guidelines. The guidelines is that, number one, it must be done in love. Number two, we must be sure that it's going to be done in an environment of peace, and there will still be peace, you know, after you confront them. If you are not sure of that, if it looks like it will lead into strife or an argument or a misunderstanding or a war or a major disagreement, you know, you should avoid it. So those are the parameters. Based on that, it simplifies the whole matter. If you are sure that you can give somebody that advice and they won't take it the wrong way, then give them the advice, basically. That's it. If you see somebody doing wrong and you know that if you correct them, they won't take it the wrong way, and then they will listen to your instruction and to your advice, then go ahead and advise them. Otherwise, leave it alone. That is what the scriptures are saying. However, it is also pointing out in the book of Proverbs that open rebuke is better than secret love. Because when you are keeping that person quiet, that person is still going the wrong direction. But you have to understand the wisdom of the previous verses and how it lines up with what Proverbs is also saying. You have to understand that even if they are not going to take your advice anyway, and it's going to lead to strife, but what you are saying is the truth, why confront them with it? Because at the end of the day, you know what you are doing is going to be ineffective. It's like trying to help somebody when you know that they are going to misunderstand your intentions and what you are trying to do, and it's going to start a war or conflict or strife, you know. Why bother? So it really makes it that, yes, it is true, open rebuke is better than secret love. That is very true. It's true that by your keeping quiet, they will continue in that wrong path. But you see, if you talk and if you speak and you don't listen, that just creates another problem. So it's better to, yes, keep quiet, knowing that they are going in the wrong direction. In that case, you can just pray for them. When you know that they are not going to receive your advice, when you know that your advice or your suggestion is only going to cause trouble, you know, then do not give it. In the case of Paul and Peter, Paul knew that after that, Peter would not take his advice and his rebuke the wrong way. And Peter didn't take it the wrong way. He listened to what Paul said and he corrected himself. He was corrected, you know. He listened to what Paul said. So that is very important. You must also understand something important. A lot of people have now taken correcting other people as a ministry. You see, in the entire Bible, there's no such ministry. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of reconciling mankind to God, the ministry of being the light to the world, the ministry of bringing men out of darkness and bringing them into the light, which is Christ. That is the ministry we have been given. We have not been given the ministry of making sure that everyone who is in the kingdom is well pruned. You know, that is not our ministry. That is between the Holy Spirit and the person that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in. It is not our own calling. Our own calling is to minister the gospel. Our own ministry is the ministry of reconciliation. There is no ministry gift for strictly correcting the brethren, and you are like the police of Christianity, and you correct anything that is wrong, or you correct any preacher that says something that is unscriptural or not helpful. That is something that you must keep in mind. Now let us look at the book of Matthew chapter 18 verse 15, and it says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his faults between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." So, you see, that's very powerful. That's very powerful. It's telling you that if your brother sins against you, in some versions of the Bible, actually just says if your brother sins, you know. So, it says if your brother sins, so whether let us just leave it at Either way, whether it is against you or against God, either way. But let us use that what we have learned so far. You can see that it is also in line with this. It says, go and tell him his faults between thee and him alone. This is a private this thing. Privately tell him, if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Because you see, these people, when you see a Christian doing something he's not supposed to, he's actually going to end up in hell. So there is that duty, and there is that sense of reproof, of necessity to reproof or to counsel or to correct. You see, but when you rebuke, you must rebuke in love, you know, which is not like think of it like a loving father rebuking a child, or a brother rebuking a brother, or a sister rebuking a sister, or you know, or friends rebuking friends, you know, that kind of thing. It should be done in love. It should be done in sincere and honest love. But the most important thing is that you have to know if this person will take it the right way or not. If they won't take it the right way, then you have no choice but to sit back and just pray. And hopefully God will send somebody else that they would listen to if they won't listen to you. You know, most people may not want to listen to you, but there is somebody else they respect more, or they'll listen to more. So that could also happen. I want to show you another scripture which shows something that looks like a contract is what I just read, and it's 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 20, and it says, them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. Now that looks like it's a contrasting scripture, but not really, because this one is now talking about rebuking them publicly. But you see, when you read the entire context of that Bible verse, the verses before it, you see that that was actually a different scenario. That was a scenario of, they were talking about elders in a specific local church, and you know, it was saying that if an elder does something wrong, that they should not listen to it unless there are two or three weaknesses. And when that elder has been confirmed that the elder did something wrong, that elder should be rebuked publicly. That's what he was talking about. So it's kind of like in an organization, when somebody betrays or does something wrong, because it affects the whole, that particular church, you know. So that is a different situation. It's just the same thing like somebody doing something in a company that they should not do, and that person is brought forth before all the stakeholders in the company and rebuked or publicly shamed. And you know, it was said so that others may fear and they will not do the same thing. So you can see that cooperation kind of setting. And that was actually, he was talking about the local, the specific local assembly. This is not something that should be taken outside of a structure of a local church or a local department. For example, if somebody does something in a church department, like in the choir department or so and so, and it's because everybody there is a stakeholder, you know, and it affects everybody, that person can obviously be brought out publicly among those people, you know, not publicly before the world, but publicly among those other choir members or people in that department, and rebuked, and so that others will fear not to do that same thing. You know, that is what Apostle Timothy is saying actually here, you know. So that's being said, you must understand that now that we live in a world of social media, the social media is completely different. Social media is not the place for rebuking or reproving anyone. Like we have established before, when you know the person is going to take it the wrong way, leave it alone. That is what the scripture has said. When you know it's going to lead to strife, leave it alone. A servant of God should not strife, you know. When it's going to lead to misunderstanding, leave it alone. At that point, you just pray. You can only give them the counsel or advice, or you can only rebuke them when you know that is good, that is going to be effective. They are going to listen, and they are going to take it the right way, and listen to what you have to say, and do make the correct changes so that they themselves will be saved from perhaps going to hell or getting in other kinds of trouble. So on social media, it must lead to strife, therefore leave it. There is no way you can rebuke or reprove a preacher or anyone on social media without it leading to strife. Because even if you assume that the person will take it right, it is on social media, so you are not just talking to them. You are talking to them in the presence of their friends, their followers, their congregation, everybody. It will always lead to strife. Any comments that is not praise on the internet, it has the tendency to lead to strife, especially rebuke. Rebuke will most certainly lead to pride, to strife. So you must leave rebuking anyone online alone completely. It should never be done. It should never be done. It just can't be done. What you should do is, if you know the person personally, then you meet the person personally, like it suggests in the book of Matthew 18:15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. You know, but this has to be something that you know that the person respects you and the person will listen to you. Otherwise, you stay back and just pray for the person. That is what we should do. We should intercede. But if you know the person personally, you do that. If you don't know the person personally now, what should you do? You have to leave it alone. You cannot call the person out on social media. You cannot correct, reprove, or give anybody advice that this sermon they preached is wrong, or this doctrine is wrong, or this thing that they did is wrong. You cannot do that on social media. Especially, either way, even if you are not a stranger to the person, as a matter of fact, if you are not a stranger to the person, why are you even thinking of social media? You have the person's phone number. And this, according to the scripture, this kind of thing is best done face to face. I know they didn't have phones back then, but it should be a personal thing, if you know what I mean. It should be personal and it should be done in love, because this is a sensitive issue, you know, for the person that you are about to correct or reprove. I would say also that I know that sometimes some preachers preach things that are just pure heresy, and you might be pressed and concerned that if people start listening to this, the doctrine is so false that it will lead so many people to hell. What you should do in such a case is, do not mention the preacher's name, do not call out the preacher, just put out your own doctrine or your own explanation of just put out the correct teaching, you know. And quite frankly, a few preachers do that. Let us say that you hear a very popular preacher saying that grace covers a multitude of sin. Therefore, you can sin, 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 and not worry about it, that grace will cover it all. Now, that is a very wrong teaching, and that is extremely dangerous because that will lead everybody who follows that kind of teaching to hell. Now you may be concerned about that. Rather than going online and calling out the preacher's name and then attacking, going at the preacher, now you may, even if you are doing it from a place of love, it will never be perceived as love, It will be perceived as you attacking that person since it is on social media or the internet. So what you should do is rather you should preach your own sermon on that topic and show that actually grace, the concept of grace is not to enable us to sin. Grace is not a license for sin. No. Grace actually is more for righteousness than anything else, So grace is a gift and grace is a wonderful thing, but it is not something that is to be taken as a license of sin for sin, because that will just lead you straightway to hell. If you want to do that, you do that and you put your message out there, but you do not include the preacher's name, you do not talk about the preacher, you do not say anything that links to the preacher. Let us say, for example, you hear a report of a preacher doing something like that they should not do, whether adultery or whatever. Do not go on social media and then start reproofing or giving or talking, because then you'll be doing Satan's work, and it's nobody takes it as reproof. He won't take it as reproof. He may never even see it, but you are just adding more strife to the kingdom of God entirely and to the body of Christ, the look of the body of Christ. That is not helping anybody. Even if the person sees it, that is not the way to for you to do it, because as a matter of fact, in that kind of case, the preacher already knows what he has done is wrong. So all you can do is pray and leave it alone. Focus on your own mission and on your own calling. We have all been given the ministry of reconciliation, so focus on reconciling men to God. So that's it. Thanks and God bless.